Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. He is a wonderful Savior. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. We've been studying through the book of Exodus, and in chapter 22, from verses 1 to 15, deals with our responsibility towards one another in relation to property. And then from verse 16 of chapter 22, leading us to verse number 9 of chapter 23, deals with our personal responsibilities towards one another. So we studied verses 16 to 31 last Sunday evening, and this is the last little section in chapter 23, verses 1 to 9, within the context of our personal responsibility, or our personal responsibilities that we have towards in dealing with fellow man. The Bible talks about loving God with all your heart. The Bible talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. One is an extension of the other. And we see that within the Ten Commandments. The first four of the commandments deal with our relationship to God, and the last six commandments deal with our relationship to one another. So let's read here in chapter 23, verses 1 to 9. I'll read if you would just follow along, and then I will pray once again after verse 9. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1 reads, "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest or distort judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thy enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter. And the innocent and the righteous slay thou not. For I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, please teach us from your holy and precious word this evening, that we might truly reflect our love for you and our love for fellow man. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. This final little section that addresses the issue of our personal responsibilities towards one another is an expansion of the ninth commandment. Back in chapter 20, there in verse number 16, it reads, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." So in Exodus chapter 20, we have the basis of God's law. In fact, the basis of law, full stop. Our country is based upon a Judeo-Christian foundation, and our Christianity is an extension of Judaism. Judaism promised the Savior. Christianity, Christ was the Savior. So we have within the instructions given to Moses the basis of how we operate as as a Western society. We have a Judo-Christian basis, and it's so critically important that we understand that and that we value that, and we don't belittle the guidelines that are given within the pages of the Old Testament. And we find here in chapter 20 of Exodus the Ten Commandments, our responsibility towards God and our responsibilities towards fellow man. And then from that basis, God expands on these Ten Commandments. And here in chapter 23 of Exodus, verses 1 to 9, there is an expansion on the ninth commandment. And this commandment deals with you and I being a true witness. We need to guard our hearts lest we raise a false report. The Israelites were to be a true witness at all times, especially when it came to legal situations. And we see there in verse number 1, thou shalt not raise a false report, in chapter 23, verse 1. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. So this deals with the responsibility that you and I have towards one another to guard our tongues lest we are involved in bearing a false witness. Honesty is the only policy. Honesty is the only policy. All the time, every time, this should be our personal conviction based upon the authority of the Word of God. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. All of us can be tempted to sin. I'm not exempt. You are not exempt. No matter how mature you and I are in Christ or immature in Christ, all of us can be tempted in the same way. We can be tempted morally, and we can be tempted even in this regard to bear a false witness. I think of Elijah, the man of God, that called fire down from heaven. And yet James teaches us in his book in chapter 5, verse 17, that Elijah, being a man of like passion, made out of the same flesh and blood that you and I are made out of. And just like Elijah had a wobble period in his life, so like you and I can wobble a little and be guilty of doing that which is not honorable to the Lord. So this area of being a true witness is so critically important. And within this passage of Scripture, God commands of His people to guard against giving a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. The Israelites were to be a true witness at all time, especially when it came to legal situations, and God instructed them, just don't get involved in anything that is false. Now, as we study this passage of Scripture, we will note a number of principles that might be helpful in protecting us from bearing a false witness. The first principle I want to stress here is found there in verse number 2, the wisdom in being prepared to stand alone. The wisdom of being prepared to stand alone. In verse number 1, it talks about not giving a false report and putting not thine hand with the wicked. So if you and I are to be people of truth, people of honesty, we need to be prepared to stand alone. Note then verse number 2 once again, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many, to follow the multitude, to rest. This is an old English word that means to distort judgment. So you and I, if we are to be true witnesses, and if we are to guard our hearts and lives against bearing a false testimony, we need to be prepared to stand alone. Be prepared to stand alone. This takes courage to stand alone. I'm mindful of Daniel of old, there in Daniel chapter 1, who was prepared to stand alone in order to be kept from defilement. And if you and I are to be people that bear a true witness, then we need to be prepared to stand alone. Truth is often found, and normally found, in the minority, not in the majority. The Bible teaches us that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. So you and I need to be careful lest we crumble under pressure from others to bear a false testimony. So if we are to be true witnesses, we need to be prepared to stand alone and not go with the flow, so to speak. And then we read on there in verse number 3, the Bible gives us some further wisdom that will keep us from bearing a false testimony. So in verse 2, the emphasis here is on being prepared to stand alone and not following the multitude that have an agenda to distort justice, judgment. But note then, verse number 3, this is in reference to not being partial. Not being partial. Look at verse number 3 once again. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. So the example is given here that we are not to pervert justice by being partial in some way, even if it is obviously to the advantage of somebody that is lacking, a poor man. And that's what that little phrase means. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man. In other words, we need to be careful that we don't pervert justice or give a false report to advance somebody that is obviously poor and needy. If it's not true, it's not true. See? So we need to be careful that we are not partial. Partiality can lead to a false witness. And a person can be tempted, you and I can be tempted, to bear a false witness on the behalf of someone that is needy or vulnerable or poor in some way. So the Bible tells us, be careful of bending true justice to accommodate or to advantage the poor or the needy. So partiality is dangerous. Being partial can lead to being tempted to bear a false witness. And then it's interesting there in verses 4 and 5, these verses deal with the issue of being prepared to return good for evil. And it gives the example there in verse 4 that if you meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Okay? So the enemy is in reference to someone that you are not in fellowship with for some reason, that you are to return good for evil. And then another example there is mentioned there in verse number 5, that if there is one that doesn't like you, you have a neighbor that doesn't like you, that is in need, then you need to go to their aid. So these examples are given that God's people might be mindful of the fact that we need to always be prepared to return good for evil.
And this is good preventative, good remedial medicine for you and I that will guard our hearts against bearing a false witness, being prepared to return good for evil. The Lord Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Note what he said. Matthew chapter 5. In verses 43 and following, it reads, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy." Matthew 5:43. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." Verse 45. "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain upon the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So you and I as God's people need to return good for evil, because I'm sure that if you are at odds with an individual and there is strife between an individual and yourself, there could be the temptation in order to get back at them to bear a false witness, see, as a way of revenge. So God in his infinite wisdom teaches us here, hey, be prepared to return good for evil, because this might be the very thing that will keep you and I from bearing a false witness. Now go back to Exodus chapter 23. Verse number 6 gives us a further principle that will be helpful in this area of not bearing a false witness. So thus far, we've noted the fact that we need to be prepared to stand alone. Okay? Verse number 2. Be prepared to stand alone. And then we noted the fact that we need to be careful that we are not partial. Partiality can lead to bearing a false witness. And then the scriptures gave us the wisdom of returning good for evil, verses 4 and 5. Now here in verse number 6, this verse reads, "Thou shalt not wrest or distort the judgment of thy poor in his cause." Don't take advantage of the poor. Don't take advantage of somebody that is vulnerable by bearing a false report. Now, back in verse number 3, that was dealing with being partial. Being partial to someone that is disadvantaged, that is poor, and bearing a false witness to their advantage. Okay? Here in verse number 6, it's dealing with the issue of not taking advantage of somebody that is poor. Don't take advantage of those that are vulnerable by bearing a false witness. And then verse number 7 gives us some further practical advice. How are we kept from bearing a false witness? Note then verse 7, "Keep thee far from a false matter." That's good advice. Stay your distance from any involvement in giving a false report. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not. Don't go out of your way to bear a false witness against somebody that is obviously innocent, obviously righteous. Don't go out of your way to slay or to give a false report or bear a false witness of someone that is innocent or righteous. Slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. God said, I'm not going to bless such an effort. I will not justify the wicked. In other words, the Bible teaches us that we need to stay our distance from getting involved in giving a false report. Keep your distance. Keep your distance. Often what can happen is somebody that wants to bear a false report against someone else, they will try to enlist allies, people that will agree with them. It's a sense of security to camouflage their insecurity. And God tells us that we need to keep our distance from anyone that is determined to bear a false witness against somebody that is innocent or righteous. Stay your distance from any involvement in giving a false report. Be prepared to stand alone. Don't be partial. Be prepared to return good for evil. Don't take advantage of those that are vulnerable, poor, and stay your distance. Stay your distance. If anybody wants to bring a false witness against somebody else, leave it to them. Stay your distance. Tell them, I'm not getting involved. You need to go to that person and deal that issue with them personally. Don't get involved. The Proverbs put it this way in chapter 22. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. If society would just obey the ninth commandment, we'd have very few lawyers and solicitors and barristers. Seriously. Note here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3, what the Bible teaches. This has been a guide to me many a time, and I would encourage you to note the wisdom herein. Note here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3. Let's read it together after 2. 1 and 2. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 12. Let's note once again a further piece of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. Okay, after 2. Let's read Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 12. 1 and 2. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Wow! Did you get it? Did you get it? God has placed within the scriptures exactly the same wording for a reason. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. There's a reason why God has repeated exactly the same piece of wisdom. This is not a mistake in the Bible. Okay? This is the Word of God. And there is wisdom here that you and I need to be discerning. And if we foresee evil, if we foresee evil ahead, the wise man hideth himself, gets out of the way. See? So stay your distance from any involvement in getting, in giving a false report. Go back to Exodus chapter 23. Verse number 8. One further piece of wisdom that will help us, keep us from bearing a false witness. Note verse 8 once again. Thou shalt not take, and thou shalt take no gift. For the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Don't be blinded by a gift or advantage. The issue of false claims and can often be made in order to get gain. The issue of false claims and bribes were not acceptable and perverted the cause of justice in biblical times. Even to this very day, we understand the principle of taking a bribe, taking a gift. A gift can pervert judgment. And note the wording here in verse number 8. It talks about, for the gift blindeth the wise. A gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. So be careful. Be careful of being involved in bearing a false witness by which you are advantage in some way. Be careful. Be careful. In Proverbs 23:23, the Bible teaches us we need to value truth. We need to treasure it. Buy the truth, it reads. Sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And the New Testament equivalent is there in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25, in being a true witness, there in Ephesians 4:25 it reads, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Speak every man truth with his neighbour, putting away lying. Bearing a false witness is lying. And you and I need to value truth and honesty, and we need to guard our hearts against bearing a false witness. And back in Exodus chapter 23, verse number 9, verse 9 is the conclusion, and God concludes this section by reminding Israel concerning what they once were, that once upon a time they were strangers. For you know the heart of a stranger, verse 9, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And the principle here, once again, is stressed, this idea of taking advantage of others. Bearing a false witness is with the goal of taking advantage. And God reminded his people, hey, don't take advantage of others by bearing a false witness. Once upon a time, you were a stranger in Egypt. Don't take advantage of others by bearing a false witness. You and I need to be people of truth, and we need to guard our hearts lest we are tempted to bear a false witness. And within this passage of Scripture, we are given a number of principles that are helpful in protecting you and I from bearing a false witness. See, Adam and Eve believed a false witness. And this led to the entrance of sin, the entrance of pain, destruction, and death. The devil is a liar who lied in the Garden of Eden on many fronts, which led to our physical and spiritual death. By one man's disobedience, we all became sinners. But by one man's obedience, you and I can enjoy life eternal. Let's close with Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. And that's our hope as Bible-believing Christians. Even though Adam and Eve were deceived by a false witness by the devil, and this led to destruction, praise God that Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, came into the world to save sinners that we might have life, and was willing to have his body broken and his blood shed on our behalf. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing upon his table this evening.